Hi, friends. I'm Emily Lay, and you're listening to the Simplified Podcast. If you're looking for a soft place to land as you filter out the noise and hustle, this is it. You're in the right place. Every week, I invite you to slow down and join me to explore practical ways to simplify, organize, and automate the complicated parts of life so you can focus on what truly matters most. One of my favorite parts of hosting this podcast is hearing from you. I like to hear how a particular episode made you think about something in a new way, or tips and tricks you have up your own sleeve, and what kinds of topics you'd like to hear about. And one of the best ways to communicate that to me is by leaving a review of the show on your favorite podcast provider. I read every single review you leave, and this one made me stop in my tracks. Kay Froderman said, "The Simplified Podcast was kind of like a Mr. Rogers for grown women." Well, I had a good run, you guys. I'm out. I guess I can just stop right there. Totally kidding. I have way too much fun here with you guys to do that. But seriously, I appreciate everyone who's taken their time out of their day to tell me what they think about the podcast. Plus, it really helps the show find its way to more people who would really enjoy it. So, if you are so inclined, leave a review for the Simplified Podcast at your favorite podcast provider today. My kids are getting older in a world that is getting more complicated. Actually, I don't know about that. The world has always been complicated. Maybe it's easier than ever to see it. My dad is full of great sayings, and this is one of my favorites. When Brian and I had Brady, my dad told us to remember that we are raising adults, not children. I think about that pretty often, and it influences the way that Brian and I make decisions about the way we parent our children. Because it's true, the little ones we're raising today won't stay little forever. We're guiding people who, before long, are going to use the tools and stories we've given them to step into the world and steward it for themselves. They'll have to decide where they're going to shop for groceries. They'll have to decide where to send their kids to school, or which internet service provider will give them the fewest headaches, and which charitable organizations need their dollars the most. They might even become members of the school board or the city council. They might even become mayor or a state representative or a United States senator. They might be moms raising their own babies, asking the same questions that you and I are asking now. And when our kids are adults, when they're faced with running the world we've given them, I want to make sure I've also equipped them to think for themselves. I want them to be people who have clear eyes and full hearts, who remember to work hard for what they have, and also remember to help people who didn't have a leg up like them. I want them to be people who live within their means, but also remember to enjoy the beauty and love and blessings they've been given along the way. I want them to be people who, even though they don't know what the future holds, feel hopeful in spite of it all. When they encounter people they disagree with, I want them to disagree respectfully. I want them to fight for what they believe in without tearing down someone else. I want them to be people who are good and kind and hopeful. This is what I want for my children, and this is what I want for the adults I'm raising. And in order to make that happen, I have to help them learn about the foundations of the society they're part of. It's my job to teach them about how the country we live in works. It's my job to frame how we talk about it, how we research it, how we think critically about what people say about it, and what their lived experience of it might be. Little by little, as nerve-wracking as it can be, I need to bring my kids into discussions about government and about politics. Because, don't forget, I'm raising adults, and I need to equip them to be those good and kind and hopeful people I want them to be. And if you have kids, or you're thinking about adding them to your family, I bet you probably want that too. You know how when you say your name enough times that it loses its meaning? That's how I feel about the word government sometimes. It's one of those words that's thrown around so often that I forget what it truly means anymore. So, getting back to the root of it, here's the textbook definition of the word government, according to Merriam-Webster. A government is a small group of persons holding the executive offices of a nation or other political unit and being responsible for the direction and supervision of public affairs. I kind of like the second half of that definition. A government is made up of people who direct and supervise what's going on. They cast a vision and steer the ship. And the word politics, do you remember being in social studies class and learning about the ancient Greeks? Do you remember what they called their city-states? They called them the polis. That's the root of the word politics, the city-state. And today, the word politics is more about influencing the actions around the city-state. I think that's a good way to frame what we are talking about today, getting back to the root of it all. Because if we're going to teach our kids about government, if we're going to get them involved in talking about what's going on in the world and how we're taking care of each other and our planet, I think it's helpful to strip these words of what we've attached to them over the years and get back to the root. But you know who's really good at getting back to the root of it all? Who's really good at taking some of the big concepts about government and politics and presenting the facts in a way I can understand without being super partisan about it? Sharon McMahon, or better known on the internet as Sharon Says So. Yes, you guys, it is Sharon Says So. I am beside myself. I am so excited. She is known as America's government teacher, and truly, she's been one of the best follows I've made on Instagram in a very long time because A, she's delightful, and B, Sharon spent most of her adult life as a high school government teacher. What I admire about Sharon is that she can break down something really complicated, like how the Electoral College actually works, or why certain beliefs are popular on the internet, or if voting for a third-party candidate is wasting a vote. And she can explain it in a way I can actually understand. She makes sure to do her research and consults with news sources across the spectrum to present ideas as factually and nonpartisan as she can. Because as she says, my goal is never to get people to think like I think. My goal is to provide you with fact-based, nonpartisan information so you can form your own educated opinions. Plus, she always makes me laugh, so that never hurts. I am so glad Sharon's on the show today because as I think about raising my kids and answering their questions at the dinner table, I want to make sure that I'm equipping them to think critically and confidently about government and their role in it. I know this topic isn't an easy one, and I am so glad you're here today. We're digging into some really interesting stuff, so here we go. Here's my conversation with Sharon McMahon. Well, Sharon, hi. Thank you so much for being here. I have like a bucket list of people I'd love to have on the podcast, and you are definitely on that list. So I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to be here. It's so fun to get to see your face in real life.
Absolutely. I will never forget when I first started following you. I think I discovered you from Carlos Whitaker, another amazing human on the internet.
Absolutely.
And I messaged you or something, and you wrote me back and you said, I have a rainbow happy stripe planner. And I screenshot it and saved it forever because it made my day.
I have owned actually multiple rainbow stripe planners. Like every year I get a new one.
That makes me so happy. Thank you. That's awesome. Oh. That is so fun. I'm so excited for this conversation because I think it's so important to raise our kids like they're becoming adults and not like we're raising people who will be children forever. Mm. I have one now that is approaching his teenage years and he has like thoughts and opinions about things. And so it's really, really important to me that we raise our kids in a way that they are aware and they know how to think critically and they know where to go for information. And so I just love what you're doing on Instagram and in the world and the way that you present information. And so I'm so excited to have this chat. Oh. And you have three teenagers, is that right?
I have three teenagers and a nine-year-old.
Oh, okay. So you have one. So my oldest is 10. So we're like overlapping a little bit there.
Yep. Okay. I have a fourth grader this year.
Wow. Yes. Mine's in fifth grade. Well, I'm so curious about, you know, the way that parents who are kind of a little bit ahead of me, how they're navigating a lot of these conversations and handling like the more nuanced parenting decisions and discussions. So how did you, with your kids, and I'm especially interested with your youngest, how did you begin to teach your kids about government and politics and like, where did you even start those conversations? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think this is true of all things, of all levels of education. You have to start with the foundation, right? If you want to learn how to do calculus, you need to learn how to multiply. Yes. So in order to understand the nuance, you have to understand the basics. You have to understand the foundation, because otherwise you're going to be lost in the wind. Right. So to me, it starts with just incorporating it into daily conversations, and also making sure that I have books in my home that we read just casually for fun, not in a like, and let's do our lessons kind of right. method, but just like there's one book that I always recommend on my account called For Which We Stand, which is just like a very simple, accessible government book for middle grade readers. So it would be perfect for your 10-year-old, written by a government teacher. It's very just fact-based. Here's how government works. And if you don't know what the word legislative means, we can't get into the nitty-gritty of legislation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it has to start there. It has to start with just a foundational understanding of how the government actually works.
Oh, I love that so much. And you've probably never had it compared to this before, but we once, I think it was this episode 2, we had the girls from Birds and the Bees on the podcast to talk about how do you simplify those conversations and where do you begin? And they said the same thing, that you start with seeds and eggs, and you have like very base level conversations when they're very small, just so that as it becomes more age appropriate, you can build on those conversations and where do babies come from and all of that. So you reminded me of that conversation because it's about planting the baseline words and concepts so that we can have bigger conversations as they get older.
And vocabulary is an important thing in government because there is so much vocabulary specific to this topic.
Yes.
So when I was teaching high school, I taught in the Washington, D.C. area for a long time and had many children of foreign diplomats in my classroom. And that most of them spoke English conversationally quite well.
Yeah.
But American government vocabulary is not something you are learning in conversational English in Cameroon. Do you know what I mean? Like filibuster is not a word you would learn. And that is absolutely true of just American conversational English. We don't grow up, most of us, talking about some of the basics of vocabulary.
Yes.
So having to fill in the gaps with some of those vocabulary words, just work them into your daily conversation.
Yeah.
And make sure you use the vocabulary words so that they are recognizable to your children as they get older.
I love that. During the last presidential election, we had quite a bit of conversation in our home because they would hear things at school and come back and ask questions or, you know, that sort of thing. And it became really important to us to do that, to discuss the words and then continue using them rather than trying to, for lack of a better phrase, dumb it down for kids, you know?
Yep.
So I think that is so interesting. I recently learned what an indictment is. I'm listening to a true crime podcast and I was like, you're not taught in school the legal language, you know?
No.
Learning those things, I think, is so important. And not just teaching our kids, but continuing to educate ourselves.
Yes.
And that is why I have just fallen in love with you and your account and what you do, because it's like it's a little government lesson in my hands every night.
And
what a great way to utilize the platform of Instagram. One of the most important parts of my life is my faith. It's helped me figure out what I value and how I can be a more patient mother, a more compassionate business owner, a better friend and partner and daughter. My grandmother played a huge role in shaping my faith because I saw the way she loved God in everything she did. I always wanted a faith like that. Right before she passed away, she gave me a book that's so precious to me, a devotional called Jesus Calling. And listen, I love Jesus Calling. I read it every morning when it's quiet in the house. It's really short and takes me 2 minutes to read. But those 2 minutes are the most impactful part of my day because Jesus Calling helps me remember how much I'm loved and that my life has purpose and meaning. It's a lifeline for my faith. And I'm really excited because there's a brand new prayer devotional that just came out from Sarah Young, the author who wrote Jesus Calling. The new book is called Jesus Listens. And let me tell you, this is the book I need right now. because sometimes I have a hard time knowing what to pray for or even where to start. And in Jesus Listens, there are prayers for every single day of the year, all based in scripture, and they really help me jumpstart my own prayers to God. And I will definitely be giving Jesus Listens as gifts this year because we need prayer now more than ever. After all, prayer doesn't just change our circumstances, it changes us too. I hope you enjoyed this book as much as I have. You can get your copy of Jesus Listens at your favorite book retailer today. So tell me this, how, you know, as your kids have gotten older, as they've become more capable of having more complex conversations, how have your teaching methods changed or evolved when it comes to discussing government and politics, especially maybe as your kids have become able to develop their own opinions about things?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is incredibly important is for our children to develop those complex, nuanced opinions about things instead of just existing on a diet of force-fed opinions. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, then that doesn't carry you very far once you leave your parents' home. And so I am a believer in leaving space for your children's opinions to evolve over time and to not panic if they do not currently hold the same opinion that you do. Right. Chances are good. Children's minds grow and they acquire new information and they change their minds about things regularly. Yes. So it's okay for them to land at an opinion today that you maybe don't agree with. But I also think it's very useful to constantly just press into that opinion just a little bit. It's a little bit of parenting with the Socratic method, which is instead of telling somebody what the right answer is, of here is what the answer should be, ask them what they think the answer should be, and then question them about why. Because that right there, the process of questioning is actually incredibly important for intellectual maturity. Why do you believe that? Yeah. And then, don't just say, well, why, but ask them questions like, well, I really think that we should have a female president. Let's say that's what your daughter says to you one day. Mm-hmm. And you might agree with that. You might agree with like, heck yeah, we do. It is about time.
About time.
It's about time. But instead of just being like, I agree, I think it's more useful to say, that is a really interesting thought. Why do you think it's important to see a woman as the leader of the United States?
Ooh, that's so good.
Asking her to, or him.
Yeah.
It'd be great if your son also thought that there should be a female president. why do you think it's important for women to be in leadership? What about having a woman in leadership do you feel would help us meet our goals as Americans? So that line of questioning actually does a lot for their intellectual maturity, way more than just, I agree, dear.
That is so smart. And it made a little light bulb go off for me that is, Brian and I have always said that it's important to kind of nurture our kids' faith in the same way. Mm-hmm. We believe certain things and we teach them certain things, but we encourage them to ask questions and dig into that. And we want them to come to their conclusions the way that we did, because it strengthens that. So it's a very kind of similar mindset. When it comes to, our kids are going to be in our house and they'll hear what we say, and what our opinions and thoughts on things are. When they go out into the world, they're going to encounter people who may have different opinions. How do we encourage our kids or teach our kids to engage in good conversations that are respectful and open-minded and empathetic and those things? How do we encourage them to do that? Because so much of what we see right now is just arguing. And I feel like our kids see. I mean, I even had one of mine come home last year and say, well, so-and-so is just a bad person. And they clearly picked it up from someone. I said, well, let's talk about where that came from. How would you encourage kids or tell us to encourage our kids to be able to have those big open-minded conversations?
It absolutely starts with modeling it. You, if you want to instill that in your children, you have to be willing to demonstrate it to them. Like, you can't just eat Cheetos all day and then yell at your kids about why they're not eating Brussels sprouts. You also have to eat Brussels sprouts, man. Right? you have to walk the walk. You can't just talk the talk. And so it really starts with a firm commitment in not dehumanizing other people. Ooh. And that is really where I think things tend to go off the rails, especially in the comment section on any social media. Goes off the rails real quick.
Real quick.
Where it immediately reduces to name calling, you're an idiot, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And having that firm commitment to, we can argue about the issues. We're not going to argue about the humanity of another person. To me, that is super important, that we don't, even if you vehemently dislike a person in leadership, we can attack their policies. We can discuss their behavior, but we're not going to discuss, I have a personal line in the sand of, we don't make the fun of the way people look.
Right.
And we are not going to say things about them that would demean their personhood. And so there are much bigger fish to fry than things like that. And when we get mired in those kind of arguments, we're actually not doing anything constructive at all.
At all. That is so, that is so good. I love lines in the sand. It's very like black and white. And so that's really helpful we do not discuss those kinds of things. But if you have a feeling about something, let's discuss their policies or their decisions or, you know, that kind of thing.
Their behavior, right?
Right.
Your behavior as an elected official, that we can discuss. Mm-hmm. But whether or not you are a human being that has infinite worth, that we're not going to discuss.
That we're not going to go there.
I also think it's important to not criticize, especially women's appearance. Women are so, you know, women of course have different beauty standards than men do.
Right.
But women in politics in particular, they constantly feel like, well, you have to be competent, you have to be smart, but you also have to be attractive.
Yep.
And you also have to, you know, you have to be assertive, but not aggressive. You know, there's different standards for women. And if we want women in leadership, we have to move away from this superficial critique of somebody's clothing, hair, makeup, etc.
Right. That is so, what a great point. That is so very true. And it is definitely not just politically, but all the time. I mean, I said something to my husband the other day, like it's different. It's we are judged by that. It is true. I love that you said that. To kind of like dovetail to the previous question, what kind of age-appropriate resources can we point our kids to? You mentioned a book earlier that I'm going to go find after this to teach them to do their own research. Are there media outlets or are there books or podcasts or anything that you would recommend that we could point our kids to when they have questions?
Yeah. So the book that I mentioned is a great one for which we stand. And it's certainly not the only children's book that exists about the government or about primary sources. But I think it's important if you are looking to have raised children that believe in facts and believe in making sure that they are not going to be the purveyors of misinformation down the road. Like, you're not going to raise any trolls, right? Like, that should be everybody's goals. No trolls in this house.
No trolls in this house.
No. It's not just about government. I think we do the same thing about all of the topics. I think we bring books into our home that are about things like science, and we bring books into our home that are, you know, about facts about a variety of topics, people who are inspirational in those spaces. And then having those conversations around, well, why do you think Galileo was imprisoned?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why? He was just talking about his, you know, discoveries of the movement of stars in the sky. Why was he put in prison for that?
Right.
Those kind of discussions, I think, are so useful to have. And again, important to model in our own homes. I always talk about how we are leaving a digital legacy for our children, and that we are accountable for everything that we post and accountable for every DM that we send, because someday there is a very good chance that our children will gain access to our social media accounts when we're gone. And what do I want them to discover about me they go back through my Instagram DMs? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like when my dad passed away a number of years ago, the first thing we did, we went through every single picture that we had of him. You know what I mean? Like that was part of the grieving process for my family. So all that to say, the integrity needs to be instilled within you and it needs to be modeled by you. You cannot just be like, well, use primary sources, children. if you're not willing to be a person of integrity and do the same.
Oh, that is so good. And it makes me think of that, you know, drawing the line in the sand. We have to model what, you know, if we are raising adults, we need to model the type of adult we hope we are raising.
That's right. That's exactly right. You have to, if you aren't willing to walk the walk, they're not going to be either.
That is so true. Goodness gracious. I feel like I could talk to you forever about internet and social media and all of that. By the way, I did wear my antelope dress today in honor of wildlife.
Very nice.
I also have learned a lot from you about whales. So that's been a lot of fun. If you guys aren't already following Sharon Says So on Instagram, you are missing out on the best. The most positive corner of Instagram. It is absolutely wonderful. Well, I have three little rapid fire questions for you that we have gathered. So whatever just pops into your brain, that's what we want to know, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. What are your three most trusted resources for fact finding?
Any kind of person who actually gathered the data. So rather than reading a summary of, here's a summary of a letter that a lawyer sent to this other government official, instead of reading the summary, I will go read the letter for myself.
Right. Oh,
so that is always somebody else's summary of the facts might be fantastic. Yeah. It might be fantastic, but I can't know if it's fantastic until I read in primary source for myself.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not just about relying on other people. It's about reading that information for myself. So I am always looking for, where did this data come from?
Original sources.
That's right. Where did the data for this chart that shows this point that you're trying to make, where did the data come from? Because it's real easy to invent that kind of stuff, by the way. I want to see it for myself.
Right.
So once you learn a little bit more about research of this kind, you will develop your arsenal of like, well, I know where to go to look for that. Mm. And some of the sources that I recommend are the Congressional Budget Office. This is for people who are like, whoa, I am deep in the governed category here.
Yes.
CBO is a nonpartisan organization that does nothing but, you know, analyze economic things for members of Congress so members of Congress can make informed decisions about what they're
doing. Wow. That is so cool. Yeah.
There's another one called the Congressional Research Service. Yeah. Again, a nonpartisan group that does studies for members of Congress, and it's not like, oh, Republican Bob or Democrat, you know, Kevin commissioned this study. This is a study for the entirety of Congress, and they are fact-based. You know, they give all of the reasons they have arrived at the following conclusion. So Congressional Research Service and Congressional Budget Office. Again, I'm not saying it's just light reading that you're going to do before bed, but if you really want to know something, those are two great sources to start.
That's good. And things and places that you can clearly trust. That's great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is going to be like asking you to choose your favorite child, but which historical figure inspires you the most?
Mm. Well, you know, there's many, and everybody does love Abraham Lincoln, as do I. And there's a lot of reasons to love him. One of the things we always think about Abraham Lincoln as being somebody, well, he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. He mm-hmm. really stood against slavery. Those are incredibly important things and that he should have done. But really at the heart of that was somebody who was willing to stand up for what he knew was right. in the face of incredible adversity, because we can't pretend that the rest of the country was like, good idea.
Right.
And right now I feel like so many of us work really hard to thread this needle of, I don't want to make anybody mad. When in reality, sometimes the right thing to do is the right thing to do.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I always, of course, Abraham Lincoln, there's many things to learn from him, but another one of my favorite, you know, sort of historical duos is Abigail and John Adams. Ah, I love them. Okay. Yeah. I think they amuse me.
Okay.
John Adams was, you know, such a man of principle. Sometimes what the way that he went about things did not make him a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like he was abrasive and he was condescending, but he was also very, very against slavery and was like, absolutely not, not in my home, not in my state. What are you doing? That's wrong. Right. And, you know, his attitudes towards women were definitely not, they don't align with my attitudes. Right. But he had such a deep and abiding friendship with his wife. They exchanged thousands of letters with each other.
Stop.
And the letters between Abigail and John, she was absolutely his most trusted advisor. He knew that she was had a better head on her shoulders than he had on his. He had a hot temper.
Okay.
And she was much more measured and could always sort of like bring him back down to earth. I find their relationship and both of them independently just such interesting people.
That is so cool. Now I want to learn more about them. I remember seeing your stories about them and I thought that was interesting. Fun fact, way back in my family tree, we are related to Abraham Lincoln's wife.
That is fascinating. Very. Yes.
You know, something you mentioned earlier about Galileo, it made me think, one of the things I love about having these conversations, just you and I, but also like with our kids, talking about the interesting things that we didn't realize about these historical figures we've read about in textbooks, it inspires a curiosity, like a thirst for, well, that's fascinating. I want to know more. Now I want to go find out more about John Adams, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is where we develop lifelong learners. That's where we inspire future teachers. The world needs great teachers, you know, and we have amazing ones, but I hope that we're nurturing that in our kids coming up so that we continue to have those incredible teachers. So I just think that's fascinating. Okay, last rapid fire question. Who is your favorite expert or teacher of any topic to follow on social media right now?
Good question. There are so many. So this is not a thing where I'm discounting the importance of other people, but one of the people that I continually repost their work, like that is getting reshared, is Nedra Tawab.
I love her. Yes. Don't
you love her?
Yes.
I just feel like every day she is just like dropping little gold nuggets on Instagram. Yes. And I've had her on my podcast and absolutely love talking to her. I could have talked to her for 3 more hours. And she just, she says things that I love what she says and I love how she says it.
How she says it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think I found her through you, through something that you shared, but she's fascinating and just so smart. Like I feel like I learn a lot from her.
Yes. And Paul Nicklin is an absolutely incredible wildlife photographer.
He works for
National Geographic. And as a photographer, I have absolutely zero patience for wildlife photography. Like I know what goes into that. And I know that I don't have those. I don't have it. I am not about it, but I admire it so much in other people. And every time I look at his account, I'm just like, dang,
that's fascinating.
So good. Yeah.
And it takes so much dedication to get the shot.
Yes. Because these are wild animals. You can't just like I'm used to photographing people where I will just tell you what to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like move this way, tilt your head, move your chin forward, put your chin down. Like get some good light.
The whales don't listen.
No, no. And you have to like be somewhere where they are. You know what I mean? Like it's always, I find wildlife photography fascinating. I have zero interest in doing it, but I appreciate it so much in other people.
So much. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Before we hop off, tell everybody where they can find you. And also tell us a little bit about your course, because you have a course, right? That people can take.
I have live workshops that you can sign up for called Government for Grownups, and they're on different topics every month. And they're just on my website, SharonMcMahon.com. But you can also find me on Instagram at Sharon Says So.
Sharon Says So. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, friend. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Sharon is one in a million, isn't she? I am so grateful for her time today. And here is one of the biggest things I took away from our conversation. It's so important to start having conversations about government and politics early so that we are really laying the foundations for their own critical thinking as they get older, as they develop their own opinions and thoughts and beliefs. I often think that my little six-year-olds are too young to have those conversations, but really they're not. Now is the time for us to start developing that vocabulary and discussing how things work. So Sharon, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. What a bucket list interview that was. As we close out this episode, I'd like to say a blessing for you as we leave this time together and get back into our days. When your child asks a question you don't know the answer to, I hope you have the courage to say, "I don't know." When your child points out places where the adults could do better, I hope you have the humility to say, "I agree and I'm sorry. Let's do better." And as you try to navigate this complicated world right now, I hope you remember to never give up on doing good and that you're already doing a great job. As always, I like to leave a little tip to help you put what we've talked about today into practice. So here's your task for this week. One of the easiest ways that kids can grasp what government means and how it functions is to look at it on a city level. On a nice Saturday morning, take them on a field trip around town to show them where a city's government runs. Show them buildings like City Hall and explain what a mayor does for the city. You could show them the courthouse and the city council chamber and the school board building and explain how people who work there affect the way a city runs. You could also show them the library and the post office, even the fire and police departments, and show what kinds of services a government can offer. And if your kids are a little older, see if there's a leadership program in your town that teaches teens about these kinds of things. You might be surprised at what your budding good citizens are able to learn about the care and keeping of your hometown. Thank you for listening to the Simplified Podcast. I hope today's episode helps you feel more equipped to engage your kids a bit more in talking about government and how it affects their world. You can find show notes for this episode at emilylay.com/podcast, where you can check out links and resources mentioned here, and you can shop the Simplified brand of planners and products. Plus, for more simplicity tips, you can find me on Instagram at Emily Lay and at Simplified, and watch the video version of this episode on YouTube at youtube.com/simplifiedbyemilylay. If you are loving this show, then I bet you might like my latest book called Growing Boldly, Dare to Build a Life You Love, which is in stores right now wherever you buy books. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. Bye!